Joe Buck makes $5 million per year calling sports games. If you search his name on social media, though, it'd be hard to see why.
Every time Joe Buck and Troy Aikman call a game, I feel like I'm in a retirement home. Their style of calling is so damn boring.
I'll find the mute button. It's fanboy Joe Buck, the definition of nepotism over ability. He ruins World Series year after year.
Joe Buck only states the obvious. The obvious being anything clearly stated on the scoreboard in the corner of your television screen.
And they have a point. In 2007, the New York Giants were playing the undefeated New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Down 14-10 in the final 2 minutes, Eli Manning escaped three defensive players and threw a wild 32-yard pass caught by wide receiver David Tyree in the air against his helmet. NFL Films called it the play of the decade. Steve Sabol called it the greatest play the Super Bowl has ever produced. Here's Joe Buck's call.
Third down and 5. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25, and a timeout taken.
Now, if you're a football fan, you remember that play. If you watched it, you don't need a wordsmith to paint the picture for you. You see it in HD in front of your face. So I guess the big question is, why do we need Joe Buck? In 1980, the New York Jets and Miami Dolphins played a game in the last week of the season that didn't mean anything. Neither team was in playoff contention, and it was going to be broadcast on national television to no doubt low ratings. So NBC tried something.
So with the final play of the first half, the New York Jets on a Scott Durkin touchdown from 3 yards out go out in front of the Miami Dolphins by a score of 14-10. What you have been watching is a production experiment we have just completed from the Orange Bowl to the best of our knowledge, the only half of NFL football ever to be done without the benefit of announcers. The reaction to it, well, we will leave that to you. If you can understand what just transpired, then our experiment is a success. If you find yourselves wondering what's been going on, then maybe we have to work out the kinks. In any event, we'll continue with the experiment. We'll try to work out the kinks in the second half.
To replace the announcers, they used more on-screen graphics and put more microphones at field level. Keep in mind, this was 1980, long before the dancing robots and the scoreboard becoming a mainstay in the top left corner. In 1980, I think they only had one font. They could change the color of the font. But that's what they had. They had one font that they could put words up on the screen to tell you something. And they never tried it again. In 38 years, a game has never been broadcasted without announcers. The ratings were seen as a success. They were higher than they expected them to be, I guess because it was a gimmick. But it wasn't a disaster. Technology has improved. We've just been forced to listen to Tony Romo tell us who caught the ball ever since. Do we need noises to fill the empty spaces? Do they need to pipe NSYNC songs into bathrooms while we shit? Or play looped Muzak over the phone while we wait on hold? Are you listening to this show to make mundane tasks a little less mundane? Can we not be trusted to just exist in the ambiance of a moment? Is that why we need Joe Buck? Is that why we hate Joe Buck?
You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on Strangelabel.com.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike, and joined, of course, via Skype by my co-host, the albino alligator, the king of pranks, special tea, popcorn bitch, old Hustlin' Hulse.
There's Mike out of the gate. He's coming around the corner. He's waiting. Pressure coming down. He's going. He's going. Nope. He's throwing off a defender. He goes back and he throws. Intercepted. Never mind.
Travis, is that a dream of yours to be a play-by-play guy?
To call a game? No. I have no desire to do that. I do not think I could be on my toes and jockey between topics like these guys do.
I don't think I'd be able to tell what the numbers are on the little guys. I'd forget who was who.
Well, they do.
I'd just say that guy. Hey, he passed. He passed to the other guy.
Yeah, wow, they're not all those stats and things are being fed to them constantly, and it's not just them seeing who's throwing. It pops up on their little screen. That's why a lot of times you don't hear them actually call play until they're for sure. Like they don't know who the receiver is, and they'll make a mistake. But most of the time, they have all that shit on teleprompters.
It's a hard job, I would imagine.
I couldn't do it. It'd be like it's like directing like a sporting event. I don't know if you've ever seen. You know, they'll show the behind the scenes of like the Super Bowl or even like the halftime show. And the person who's directing that thing in the booth, I would never want to do that.
But do we need it, though? You know, like if you look at my dad's Twitter account, Travis, my dad's arch nemesis is whoever is calling the Cardinals baseball game. He hates them, whoever it is. And whoever is calling the game that day is the worst announcer that has ever called a game.
Well, why doesn't he? Do you guys have to have a local call guy, right? Like, we had the Milwaukee Brewers have, and I know he doesn't do the whole game anymore because he's getting quite old, but Bob Uecker has been calling.
Oh, I love Bob Uecker.
Yeah, and he's been calling Brewers games for, you know, decades. And what my, and he does this even with like Green Bay Packer games, is my father-in-law, he will have the TV on for like Brewers games, and he'll have the TV on for like Packers games, and he'll have like the AM radio station that that is calling, like color commentating on the radio playing.
See,
at the same time.
I think a lot of people do that. But, you know, the thing is the radio is faster than television.
Yeah, it's like 5 seconds ahead. So if it's like an amazing play in a football game.
Calling it from the future.
It's spoiler alert territory through the entire 3 hours of an NFL game. It's like you constantly know what's happening.
Right. You know what's going to happen about 15 seconds before it happens.
It drives me insane.
Right. And see, that's what I'm... Do we need it? You know, the DVD commentaries and, like, you can switch between French and stuff. Why has that not gone to broadcast television yet? Why can we not switch to a different audio track during live sporting events and just listen to the ambiance of the game? Just listen to the sounds of the game.
What? You can flip it to Spanish, can't you, on a lot of those stations that are broadcasting?
I think you can turn on subtitles, and I think you can go to alternate channels that are playing it in different languages.
But I feel like maybe DirecTV had that feature for certain games where you could switch to a Spanish audio track.
What if you just don't want to listen to Bob Costas? Like, what if you just want to turn him off? Can we not do that?
Oh, like separate the track so you can just shut that down, or you don't like to hear it when the pads hit, right? Like when the guys are hitting each other. It just
No. Let's hear that. That's cool. It makes you feel like you're there, you know?
I suppose, but if you could separate all of the audio tracks, so you have like 732 audio tracks at any given time in a sporting event. You could,
if you
watch in baseball and you wanted to mute the sound of the ball hitting a glove.
Yeah, turn off that mic.
That specific microphone.
Just be like, I don't like hearing the bat crack. Don't like
it. Yeah, gross. It's the worst part of baseball.
It bums me out. I don't like it. I feel it's something we can do, Travis. We can work on it.
I think we can work on it.
See, because the old men in the world, the only reason they have social media is to complain about the guys announcing their sporting events. They don't like them
because sports radio is been that thing for years, you know, like they have to fill time. So you'll have a lot of these weird fans calling in and bitching about the guys calling a game. But before there was even sports radio where you had call-in shows, I think grumpy old men just like bitched to their buddies talking about how shitty this caller was. You know, it's like they don't know. I didn't even fucking hear what happened there because this guy sucks. I just feel like everything is being amplified, and this is good. It's good for the old men to be able to bitch about these play callers.
Travis, we were talking about the stock market a little while ago.
We were.
Travis, I don't understand the stock market. Explain the stock market to me.
Well,
the thing that you were talking about that didn't make any sense to me. So they're the MoviePass guys.
Yeah, MoviePass. At one point, when they came out of the gates, they were kind of mediocre. When everybody got hip to MoviePass. The company that owns them is like Harmony is what it's called. It's I can't remember it's two words, but
something
Harmony
something
is
New
company.
York.
Yeah. They came out of the gate and they had a 52-week high of like $34 a share because people were really getting hip to this MoviePass idea. And I think it was when, you know, right when they were having kind of their growing pains because so many people wanted it. I think their stocks kind of just soared. And then when people started having a little bit of an issue with it, it kind of tapered off. And for some reason, there was a time and I bought into this MoviePass company because I'm like, hey, I think that's kind of neat. Maybe this goes somewhere. Maybe it doesn't. And I think I bought into it at that point. It was like $4.75 a share or something I bought into. And literally not the day after they decided to break it open. They only had a limited amount of stocks and they just opened the floodgates. And there was all of a sudden they made a bunch of stock available to way more people and it immediately tanked the stock.
So when I buy a stock,
yeah,
I'm buying like a percentage of that company, right?
You're buying a percentage of the company, right?
So I guess if they're giving up a certain amount of percentage in the company, mm-hmm. so they can just give up more of a percentage.
Right. So typically I would say like, say a company wants to hold on to obviously their voting rights and their, you know, the major decision. So they're going to open, say, 45% of this company's valuation. We're going to open that up to stock. So we're going to let people buy into this company at this evaluation of what the company is worth at this given time. So then people can buy chunks of that. Based on how many shares they have available.
So, you know, the MoviePass, the thing with them the whole time has been, man, I don't know how in the world they're going to market that. I don't know how they're going to make any money, but they must have some idea. You know, they must have a trick up their sleeves. And like we've bought into it this whole time thinking, you know, the deal seems too good to be true, but they must have a plan. They must. But I think they might just be dum-dums.
Yeah, it turns out they didn't have a plan at all. And now they're forced to like figure out what the hell they're going to do to stop hemorrhaging money. Because even before their newest tactic, which is to the like hot ticket items now. There's like a little red mark next to a movie that if it's like the hot ticket movie, you can
right.
Only
like if
see...
you go see a movie on a Friday night when people go see movies.
Yep.
Then out. They'll be like, I know we charge you more. I mean, you're paying the same amount for the ticket. So I don't know why that's a good idea.
Yeah. Like it's like you pay a little bit extra money or something or yes, yeah, something's messed up. But even before that, they were trying to figure out how it's like, oh, instead of unlimited movies, now you can see 6 movies a month. How about that? Well, that didn't work and they were still losing money. So it's like, no, we're going to have to do something different. No new fees. People are grandfathered into this thing, but any new subscriptions, I think they
well,
limit
see,
you
they keep backing up a little bit more and a little bit more. And what it's so weird because it's a good deal.
Oh, it's
and
a great
it's
deal.
Still a good deal.
Yeah.
But every time they back a little bit farther back and you have to kind of say, what are these guys doing? They made it now so you can't go see the same movie more than once, which we've right. never been in a situation where we've gone to see the movie more than once. But, you know, it's a backtrack.
I hate to be limited by the thing that I pay money for saying, hey, you can't go to that movie again. You already saw it. It's like, well, no, wait, this is how whatever movies I want to see
yeah,
when I want to
see
them.
When I signed up, that was the deal that we agreed on. And right. now you're backing up. It's still a good deal, but it's a little backup. And they right. go, hey, if you go see a movie on a Saturday night and a bunch of people want to see that movie, we might charge you an extra couple bucks. And be like, why? Why are you doing that, guy?
So I can move into the very next theater and see a movie people don't want to see.
Right. If you go see a shitty movie that people don't want to see.
Right.
You
want to see that Amy Schumer movie? Yeah, go right ahead. And actually, right, go ahead and see that as many times as you want, because we don't really care.
Yeah, but see, it's a backtrack, and it's still a good deal, but you got it. Kind of got to say, what are they doing? You know,
well, and most companies, you know, I feel like they underestimated people's desire to see movies in the movie theater. I feel like they saw like a downtick in ticket sales, and they're like, hey, we can do something about this. We'll profit off this. Now, people aren't going to the movies as often. Maybe they don't have a babysitter. Maybe they don't have as much discretionary income. We'll get the amount of money they spend going to one or two movies a month. We'll take that and we'll say, hey, you can see as many movies as you want, knowing full well that more than likely those people are going to go still see just those two movies a month. So they underestimated the draw of this service, especially once it got around on social media and movie freaks who have all they do is see movies, which there's nothing wrong with that. They didn't realize how many of those people existed. So instead of being able to, you know, because most companies, it's just like, say, Coca-Cola, right? So they sell 20-ounce bottle, or let's take it like this. They sell 24-ounce bottles of soda in a six-pack, right? So that's like one of their main packages. They sell that, just say, $4 or four of those six-packs for $10, right? They've been doing that for years. They've been doing that for years. Well, they don't want to do that anymore. Now they knock it down to half liter, which is like 8 ounces less, right? So, but they bring those out and they offer those for five for $10. And people are like, hey, that's a better deal. I can get five of those, and I kind of like these little bottles more.
Yeah, so they're convenient. They're a right. Silly little thing. You know, you get the taste, but you don't go full hog on one.
Exactly. And they start to sell them five for $10. So they get people used to it. They're constantly five for $10. They start raising the price of the ones that are 24 ounce. They start $3, $4, until all of a sudden they phase out those 24 ounce. The 24 ounce don't exist anymore. You have no option but to buy this 16.9 ounce bottle of soda, this six pack of soda. So then all of a sudden they slowly creep up. Now it's not five for $10, it's five for $11. Now it's not five for $11, it's five for $12. And then it's four for $12. And they do this slowly over the course of a couple of years, where they are making more profit, charging you the same amount of money and giving you less. Well, MoviePass didn't have time to do that. So what happened to their stock was it went...
They didn't have time to do it because they didn't think the whole thing through.
They did not think it through.
They just thought if we got
stock.
All these people in the door,
right,
and then we would just slowly dial stuff back a little bit, they won't notice. But like, we haven't really enjoyed the benefits of MoviePass for all that long.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't even know how long it's been around. But when I, like I said, when I bought into MoviePass, because I'm like, hey, I'm familiar with this and let's see what happens. I bought it in at like $4.75. And what did we buy into last week? What did we pay for shares last week when we were discussing this?
It was like 18 cents.
18 cents a share. Because the day after I bought into it at $4.75, they opened up the stock even more. It dropped to $2. Now they're hemorrhaging money. And it cuts 18 cents a share for it. Actually closed at 17.7 cents.
Yeah, I bought like 20 or 30 shares of it for like less than $5.
Right.
Just because. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You lose $5?
Yeah, you lose $5. Or they all of a sudden somehow come back to that 52-week high of $32 a share, and you are in like gangbusters. You made some good money. And that is essentially the stock market. It's a gamble. It's a lottery. But you kind of have to have some idea what is happening with that company.
Do you have to have an idea, or can you just buy stuff and hope for the best? Because that's been my strategy so far. I see something that looks kind of fun, and I just buy some. And then it just kind of sits there, and I go, oh, it went up 3 cents. Oh, it went down 5 cents. You know, and I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't sold anything yet. I don't know how to do it.
Well, you could do it like that, or the way that people really do it is they watch for trends and they watch for things that could affect those companies. When I originally started getting into it with this Robinhood app, they gave me some free energy, like utility stocks. And I'm like, oh, this Chesapeake Energy, this is fine. And it did all right. And it was moving up a little bit, but it kind of stayed stable. And I was like, hey, I'll buy like 4 shares of that for $3. I'll set it where I will sell I'll sell 3 of the 4 shares to cover the $12 or whatever that I paid for it. And if those 3 shares sell, I'll get my money back and I'll have 1 free share of stock. That's essentially how I kind of figured it out. And it worked. The sad part is now that stock is worth like double what I sold it for, but it's kind of a gamble that you take. So you can do it where you don't lose any money if you play it very safe.
I feel like kind of get to be a big shot.
It's fun. And it's at the palm of your hands. You don't have to deal with any kind of weird financial guy.
I don't know what I'm doing. But like, you know, like when people talk about stocks, I can be like, yeah, dude, I got stocks.
I got some of that. Yeah. Well, the only reason I know that Harmony is starting to mess around again is they sent a prospectus. There's like a vote at the end of the month about opening it up to even more shares because it is down far enough now where they can't be traded on the NASDAQ if their stock doesn't rebound in price.
Now, did you see that the MoviePass is buying up stakes in movies?
I did not see that.
They bought some of the interest in that John Travolta, John Gotti movie.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. They had like a stake in it. So I guess if you went to the MoviePass website, they're like, hey, you want to go see that John Travolta, Gotti movie? And be like, no. And be like, are you sure? You're pretty good, guys.
You should go, guys.
You're not going to get upcharged for John Gotti, I promise you.
And you can see it 5 times if you want.
Yeah, you can see the Gotti movie as many times as you want. Pitbull did the soundtrack.
And hey, there's a free coupon in your MoviePass app for a free popcorn. But only if you go to Gotti.
That movie was awesome because I didn't go see it. I didn't go see Gotti. I missed it, Travis. I think it's already out of theaters. But
I can't imagine it lasted more than the first weekend.
I think it had like a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is not a great movie from the critics' point of view. But they had an interesting market campaign. They kind of went with like the Trump fake news thing. And they were saying, hey, do you want to believe the critics, the fake news? Because this is a good movie. You got to see it for yourself.
And don't let anybody tell you how good this movie is. You figure it out.
Have you ever seen a movie acknowledge the haters?
No.
Have you ever seen a movie like print ads that say, hey, all the critics say this movie sucks, but you go see it. It's probably not that bad, right? I don't think I've ever seen that. It's amazing.
No, that's the world we live in now. It's anything that people say is no good. It's fake. And you need to decide because this ain't right. This can't be that bad. Come and give us your money.
The critics, they have an agenda against the Gotti movie.
Of course they do. But you know, if there's one thing critics hate, it's organized crime movies.
But we didn't make this movie for the critics. We made it for the people.
Yeah. If there's a bunch of movies on the AFI Top 100, it certainly isn't gangster movies and organized crime movies like The Godfather or The Godfather 2 or Goodfellas or Casino.
Charles, I saw that Ocean's 8.
It's probably fine.
You know, it was an elaborate heist movie. I like the elaborate heist movies. You know, you see how they do the crime.
You know, like Italian Job and whatnot.
They say that the movies inspire violence, but I wish they inspired more heists. Like elaborate. Do we have any good heists? Do they ever really happen? I feel like I don't ever see elaborate heists. Or do they keep those from us? Travis, gotta go to break. Talk more about heists.
And now the funniest joke I ever heard. These two ball players went duck hunting. They were out in the marshes for over an hour. They didn't get anything, didn't shoot anything. Finally, one says to the other, I wonder why we haven't got any ducks. The other one says, maybe we're not throwing the dog up high enough.
WFOD will return.
And now, Drunk reads our iTunes reviews in an Australian accent.
From Tip T.R. Harris. If you like to laugh, take some time out of your day to listen to this. You won't regret it. 5 stars. Cheers, Tip T.R. Harris.
Want Drunk to read yours? Rate and review us on iTunes.
WFOD.
needs us.
All right, let's go.
We're here, Zordon.
Whoa, 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 Jason. Noticed you're not. Noticed you aren't wearing any red today.
You know, good on you, Zordon. I wasn't going to say anything, but I totally noticed that.
Yeah, sorry, guys. My mom got it for me for my birthday. She said I need to get past this and vary my wardrobe a bit. Obviously, I can't tell her the real reason, and if she doesn't see me wear it at least a couple times, she'll think I don't like it, and it'll hurt her feelings.
I mean, fuck, at least y'all got some color to work with. People here at school think I'm into Satan or some shit.
Yeah, pretty much nothing cute comes in yellow.
All right. Whatever. Rangers, Ivan Ooze has a giant moth creature terrorizing an empty field. You need to stop the... I'm sorry, this is really distracting me. Alpha?
Yes, Zordon?
Can you get him the red cowboy hat?
I'll get it right away!
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
I think Not Safe for Water Coolers is going to come in second. But if you had told me they had a Star Wars movie and a Marvel movie in June, I would have told you there was no way they wouldn't crush everyone. Weird. Ant-Man and the Wasp had a $76 million opening weekend. It's going to do great. But it needs to score 9 more points than the combined total of Mission Impossible 5 or 6, I'm not really sure, and The Equalizer 2. Is it going to do that? It has a 70% Metacritic right now, and that's not helping much. Go ahead and add to the regret pile 22 points for the undrafted Sicario 2 and 17 for Uncle Drew. Add in the first Purge next week, and we'll see how it all shakes out very soon.
Travis, the man who has lost his way. Take inspiration from his action. This life of toil and strife will end someday. Prepare yourselves. Once again,
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Testing. Can
hey!
You hear me? Can you hear
me?
You
are, buddy.
Am I here?
You're here!
Holy shit, it's unbelievable.
Travis never ends with you, does it?
No, it's I get the sound figured out, everything works good, and then out of nowhere, which never happened before, Skype says, hey, you don't have a microphone. you know that thing you've been talking into for 25 minutes? That's not there.
And it's gone.
I don't care if you use me.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about heists, and I feel like somebody stole all of my ambition to work with this Skype interface, because give me a break, right?
Do we need to switch to something else? What would we even switch to?
I don't know, but why?
I know, Travis. See, what I'm saying is, I feel like Travis, the soccer team that got stuck in the cave.
Yeah, poor guys.
Little guys. I liked it. Because, you know, like, everybody, like, came together to get the little kids out of the cave.
You know that there were 6 people, while that was going on, writing screenplays, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Chilean miner movie came out, like, less than a year after the Chilean miners got out. They like, called Antonio Banderas while the guys were still in the mine.
Say, hey, you want to be one of these people? Pick one.
Be like, hey, dude, you're not Chilean, but you are kind of brown. You could fake it. We got to make this Chilean miner movie.
Right.
The kid in the cave soccer team, That movie's already in production, man.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of the Stranger Things kids are probably already in talks to play these kids.
Well, we got to get in production quick before they age out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like it, though. And you know, it's a bummer. And all's well that ends well. But, you know, like the people, they're rooting for the kids. And I like it. You know, like and really, there's not like a bad guy. So, like, there's no one to really be mad at. Like, you know, the bad guy is nature.
Right. There are dramatic turns, though, because we did lose, was it an ex-Navy SEAL that went to try to get them air devices, and he died?
Right. No, that sucks.
Yeah, but there's dramatic turns. So there's, like, you get a point where you're like, oh, these kids are stuck, and we have a timetable, we have to get them out. But then you also lose a life, like somebody who was being selfless trying to help these kids.
Right, guy's a hero.
Yeah, that's and why like, there was, you know, 9/11 movies.
There's heroes, like, in the shootings and stuff, but it's not fun heroes. You know, it's not like, and there's a bad guy, and, like, you know, evil triumph. But nature isn't evil. It's just a thing that happens, and it sucks, but, like, we all kind of we rally together to try to save these soccer kids.
Right.
Elon Musk is making submarines and stuff. You know, Elon Musk is cool, Travis. I like
him. Yeah, I'm into what he does.
I mean, is he kind of a douche? Maybe.
Sure.
But he's cool.
You can't really judge a person like that who has been rich beyond your wildest dreams forever. They don't live in the same world that you live in.
Right. Guy just, like, sees shit on the news and he's like, I could fix that. And he tries to do cool stuff.
Right. I'm going to put 50 of my employees on this thing. We're going to see if we can create something to fix this situation.
And he's like, Puerto Rico ain't got power. I could do something with that, probably.
Right.
Let's work on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, people rally against most of these multimillionaires and these billionaires and whatnot because they're just rich people trying to get richer. And, you know, obviously Elon Musk has his haters, probably mostly because he's so rich. But shouldn't we be, like, championing all of these, like, eccentric billionaires who would even think about doing something to help these people? You know,
so,
what I mean,
yeah. So maybe, Travis, are you're pro eccentric billionaire?
Well, I mean, maybe you can I guarantee you go through his tax records, you're gonna find something. You know, you go, yeah, he probably did some, you know sketchy shit here in the last couple of decades.
But why do you want to go that direction, Travis? Why can't you just say, he does cool stuff?
Well, because there are people who are, like, anti-Elon Musk. Those people do exist. And I think that is, you know, obviously everybody's going to have their detractors. But, yeah, I mean, we hate these lobbyists and these giant corporate interests. So why wouldn't we all champion a person like Elon Musk who's like, look, I can send this Corvette into space. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I mean, like, why did you do that? I don't know. Who gives a shit, though?
Right.
It's out there now. That's fun.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe some alien will find a car and think it's neat. Or right, maybe it'll just float around forever. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, does it?
In the grand scheme of things, what does it fucking matter that there's a car up in space?
Right. I'm trying to build a train that connects three different states that goes 150 billion miles an hour to save you from driving a car.
Guy was just like, hey, guys, I'm going to make a bunch of flamethrowers because I think it's cool. You guys want to buy a flamethrower? I'll just sell some. And then people just went and picked up their flamethrower.
Right.
Just because it's fun.
Absolutely. And you're talking about the same guy. And if I could afford it, I would absolutely do it. And mostly it's because you have to, you know, power it with solar panels. But that guy built, like, an affordable house battery. You can buy it. You can spend, like, I think it's like 10 grand and you connect this battery to your home's energy source and it's powered by solar panels. So this battery stores all of the energy that is collected from the sun and then it'll just, like, power your whole house.
And that's why I think that I'm pro global warming now. Like, I hope more bad things happen because then, like, you kind of see the good. You know, I think we have it too good.
Right. And so you're saying because then we're, like, forced to come up with better solutions because, hey, when But don't
right.
you feel like
all
though,
we have time to do now is sit around and tweet about how it's bullshit that some guy called the police on a black gal at his pool.
Right.
Like that's what we're doing when we should be like figuring out submarines to get these kids out of the cave.
Right. So what you're really saying is that we should have some more natural disasters to bring us together to figure out how to prevent bad things from happening to each other.
Right. Yeah. We should be focused on helping one another get out of caves.
And I mean, even metaphorical caves, really.
Right. Metaphorical caves, Travis. That's even better. See, because in my situation, that diver died. But right. in yours, it's not even a real danger. You know, that's better. Like maybe we need Jurassic Park, Travis. We need Jurassic Park. We need to save each other from dinosaurs. We just need the dinosaurs to be out running around. And we need to figure out how to get away from them.
And I feel like, though, if the Jurassic Park thing taught us anything is that we'll never learn from our mistakes and we'll just keep doing the same thing over and over and over.
Travis, did you see the new Jurassic Park?
No.
It's not good, Travis. It's not a good movie. But there was one pretty cool development. In one scene, the Velociraptor, there's like a bomb, and the Velociraptor sees the bomb, and it has like a sign on it that says flammable, and the Velociraptor reads the sign and know he has to run away from the bomb.
Oh, the dinosaurs read now.
Yeah, this dinosaur reads. They've evolved. Now they read signs.
Like, did they put a human brain in it? Did they hybrid this dinosaur? I mean, you can spoil it. Go ahead. It's Jurassic Park. Who gives a shit?
There's a sign, Travis, and the raptor reads the sign. And he's like, oh, shit, I gotta run. And then, like, he does that thing where, like, he runs and, like, narrowly escapes the explosion.
Are we going to do, is this going to become like, is this franchise going to be like a Rise of the Planet of the Jurassic Park, where all of these dinosaurs start to become, you know, aware and have their own thoughts and like ride horses and shit and shoot each other with machine guns?
Always know the exact distance of the blast. Like, they always dive. Like, why don't you just keep running? Like, it's like when people slide into first base. I think they've scientifically proven that if you just keep running, you're going to get to first base faster.
Right.
So, like, how do they know when to dive?
Well, they don't. And I think that is a poor movie technique that has evolved over the years, where initially when that happened, what is supposed to be happening is the bomb blast throws you. You're not diving. The bomb blast pushes you, so it's throwing you in a certain direction away from the blast because all of the concussion blast.
See, but people, I don't think now that's what happens.
In every movie, they're diving, which is not what they should be doing.
They dive just the right amount,
right? And it pushes them just a couple extra feet. They get up and brush off their hair and they say, "Ooh, that was a close one."
Maybe that's like some training that you learn in like action hero school, like, you know, look at the size of the bomb. And this is about how far you got to get away from it.
We should have asked Michael Jai White how many times he's ever dove away from a bomb in a movie.
Well, I mean, it's like the lines on the football field. I guess people have a pretty good idea where the first down is at all times. It's like, yeah, whenever you walk into a building, you have to know how far you got to get away from it if it explodes.
That's assuming that these people in these action movies have dealt with bombs so many times that they know by instinct when to dive away from a bomb. Like, how often is that the case in these motion pictures?
I don't know. It's a conundrum.
I mean, I guess once you get to like the fourth sequel, maybe you have an idea, but you know, that first one, you're just going to get thrown.
Do you go see the movies by yourself, or do you and the wife go see movies together?
Well, the majority of my movie watching experiences in the theater are by myself.
Do you and your wife go see like separate movies? Or
no, she just doesn't go to movies. We have two kids and it's hard to go if like most of the, she's happy to watch them at home. If there's a movie she wants to watch, we'll go randomly together. Sometimes we'll go completely as a family, all four of us. And then sometimes I just take, it's just me and the kids. But then I'll go by myself because I'm way more interested in a lot more different movies than she is. So
you're more the movie watcher than she is.
Right.
I typically only go see movies with my wife. And you know,
you never go by yourself?
Very rarely. Very rarely. Most of the time, me and her go together. And, you know, it's kind of a trade-off because, you know, a lot of times I go see movies that I'm not really interested in, but that she wants to see. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, she goes with me to see the Ant-Man, you know?
Oh, sure.
It's a trade-off. And I was thinking that we went and saw Ant-Man the other day. And I just knew this isn't a movie that Laura really cares about seeing. She's going to be a pal for old Mike and seeing a movie that Mike wants to see. But like, do you think that it would be a successful franchise to just make a series of movies that are two movies like intercut, you know, like two movies completely unconnected to one another, but like every 15 minutes, like it switches to the other movie.
So like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days intercut with like Double Impact.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, you have something with Jason Statham, you know, stabbing dragons. And then like every 15 minutes, it's something with, Goldie Hawn's daughter and some fella.
So essentially what you're saying is you want to start a franchise where people pay $12 a ticket to go switch between channels mid-scene?
Well, you know, do it, put some effort into it, you know, make it kind of fun. But yeah, like make two 45-minute movies that every 15 minutes switches to the other movie.
I feel like you could do that because then you're just dealing with two different storylines. So here's my premise is that Matthew McConaughey has to deal with getting over his womanizing ways, but his friend, right? His friend, The Rock, who he just spoke to on the phone, is also dealing with a terrorist situation in a big building.
So like maybe The Rock could connect them somehow.
Yeah. So The Rock gives him a call. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of this. He's like, hey, I just need your advice on how to deal with this gal.
Is dangling from the 82nd floor.
Right.
And he takes a cell phone call from Matthew McConaughey, who's having second thoughts about his relationship.
Right. Yep. Or he's on that blind date and he's not sure exactly how to approach, you know, just ordering, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe The Rock at some point needs to break up McConaughey's date so that McConaughey can get out his laptop and unlock a door to a secret lab or something.
Oh, yeah. Or he's got to pull up the blueprints for the building that he's in because Matthew McConaughey designed that building.
So, but these two movies have completely different storylines.
Right.
That will satisfy all audiences, but maybe somehow come together in the end. Maybe, you know, The Rock, you know, kills all the evil Russians just in time to get back for the wedding, you know, and be the best man. Only he's got like a single cut on his head that's stitched together.
You know, yeah,
just a very convenient cut to where it's not like he still is, you know, handsome and everything, but you can tell that he is in a struggle.
Yeah, it's not going to ruin Matthew McConaughey's wedding to have The Rock standing up in the front. Nobody's going to be distracted by The Rock's single cut on his forehead.
Maybe we could make this just as a series, and I mean they don't have to be sequels necessarily, but you know, like an anthology, you know, just like a call it a date movie. Where a gal and a guy can go together and have fun. And you know what? Really, if you wanted to go by yourself, you could. It'll still be fun.
Right. But it would satisfy both parties. And I feel like, I mean, you're creating a new genre here, right? So we have to come up with like the perfect name for the genre. Or do we let like critics come up with that?
I don't know what we do. You can't listen to the critics, Travis.
No. Well, or you could just, you know, sell your movie on the fact that the critics say this is the stupidest premise I've ever heard of. And nobody should go see this because we don't want them making any more of these things.
We don't.
It's two different experiences here.
We don't make movies for the critics, Travis. We make movies for the people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Travis, we're getting a phone call from Drunkard STL on the Twitters. I believe that is probably a sign that Drunkard STL on the Twitters isn't coming. Is that right, Drunk?
Mike, that's a stupid idea.
Drunk, are you okay, buddy? my movie is a stupid idea?
Yeah.
You're calling in to tell me that my movie sucks?
Yeah, no, it's not a good idea.
We can cast other people if you want.
No, it's not about the cast. It's not about the cast.
Do you want it to be at a hockey? The Rock could be saving a hockey game instead of a skyscraper.
Why am I going to want to pay $12 for half a movie I don't want to see?
Oh no, this movie is 3 hours long.
What if
so
you
it's
just
two full movies?
Yeah. What if it was just like two middling garbage movies, like what they did with what Netflix did with that Cloverfield movie.
Like where they just like throw in some shit.
It was a middling garbage movie that nobody was going to give a fuck about. And then they're like, nah, it's a Cloverfield movie.
And everybody's like, oh, I'll watch that.
You take two middling garbage movies.
Maybe it on Netflix first.
And you just make half of the movie one thing and half of the movie another thing so that all parties involved are excited about it.
There was a couple of movies. There was that Gwyneth Paltrow one, right? That Sliding Doors. Where it's like two different outcomes of her life that happened, you know, kind of simultaneously. Like, oh, she made it out of the train or she didn't make it out of the train. And then there was that Woody Allen, I think it was. It was a Will Ferrell movie, like Mindy and Melinda or some shit that like that, where it was two different storylines happening at one time. But this is two separate movies, separate characters going on different journeys.
Very loosely connected.
Very loosely. Like they maybe, yeah, they went to college together or something.
Like, you know, like any Nicholas Sparks movie is pretty much a gal who's in a bad relationship that moves somewhere else and meets a guy who sucks way less. And that's the movie. And then they just make it over and over again. And like, you know, this one involves riding horses. And
well, to be fair, sometimes the gal is dying of cancer and she needs to find a real good boyfriend.
Right. It's the same thing. They just kind of change it around a little bit. We could make 100 of those movies. Travis, give me 5 Nicholas Sparks plots right now.
A girl, recently divorced, mother of one, almost teenage boy, moves to a small fishing town where she has to cope with living and raising her son on her own. Also, she just left an abusive relationship and now she meets, you know, he's not well off, but he loves his work. Fisherman.
Cowboy, rancher. Yeah.
And now you just, exactly. Drunk just did
one.
Two.
Yeah.
One, he's a cowboy. One, he's a rancher.
Town.
Another one, the guy figure skates. The figure skating one.
Or she's a figure skater. She broke her leg and now she's trying to get back on the ice. She left an abusive relationship and now she meets a fellow figure skater.
Find a doubles partner.
She,
a doubles partner.
Yeah, she can't skate anymore, but now she's going to get really into like yoga.
Or she coaches. She coaches and lives her dreams through younger prodigies.
Oh, right. And, she falls in love with
the
dad.
Competing team is her love interest.
But at the same time, Jean-Claude Van Damme's her dad.
Oh,
and he's got some karate in to do.
The KGB.
Good times.
Drunk, did you like when the Raptor read the sign?
I thought it was great.
The Raptor read the sign and said, "Oh, gotta go."
Well, I mean, they did say he was the second most intelligent species on Earth. So, I mean,
of course he is.
Monkeys can read signs, right? So,
monkeys can read sign language. I don't think monkeys know what a sign is.
I'm sure a domesticated monkey knows what a sign is.
A domesticated monkey?
Yeah, I mean, like shit, Marcel on Friends, couldn't he, like, press the play button on the CD and whatnot and play the song?
A weem away, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away.
Drunk, I think right now you're too close to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Like,
I love everything Jurassic Park, so I mean, I have no words for the movie. I thought it was great.
I have a blast in all of the Jurassic Park movies. But then, like, when you really think about them, like Jurassic World, when I saw Jurassic World, I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun in Jurassic World. But, like, I'm not going to go back and watch Jurassic World again. That movie wasn't very good. No, like, if I'm going to watch a Jurassic Park movie,
it was great.
I'm going to watch the first one.
I first saw it on, like, HBO, and I've watched it since then. I never went to the theater to see it because I didn't think it looked that good. And then I watched it, and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. And I'll turn it on if it's on.
Like, in the Hall of Fame, to get inducted, I think pretty much in any Hall of Fame, there's like 5 years of separation. Where like, you know, you have to kind of get away from the game and people have to really like put it in perspective. Like, did this person really matter, or are we just like still in the wake of their celebrity? You know, like when we look back, can we still say, fuck, that guy was great?
So, yeah, I only got one complaint about the movie. And you want to know what it is?
What's that?
So they made it out to be like Jeff Jewface was like in the movie. He was in it for like 8 fucking seconds.
He was in the trailer longer than he was in the movie.
That kind of bummed me out a little bit.
And I don't really think that Jeff Jewface is a very nice thing to call somebody.
Oh, that's what I've called him since I was a teenager. So I'm sorry, Jeff Goldblum.
Drunk, are you coming to do the show? Are you not?
I'm literally still at work, homie.
So you're not coming to do the show, Drunk?
You got something for me to record?
No.
I was about to say I could stop by if you need me to record just something,
like,
but
just like the show, you know, like this.
I mean, I wish I could.
I mean, he's here. He's on.
Yeah.
If right. I knew how to like do teleportation, but I'm not going to make it there in 8 minutes. That's
true. So you don't think that's a good idea? The intercut movie thing? You don't think it could work?
Maybe. You'll really have to hammer out the details a little bit better, though.
Like, flush it out.
This show's about a lot of things, you know? Kind of bounces around.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you made it a little bit more like, you know, Pulp Fiction, where the ending's the beginning and the middle's, you know.
Well, I mean, like, you know, the continuity of it, that doesn't really matter so much. It's more... see, we got a little something for everybody. Drunk, we talked about the stock market. We talked about some movies.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about people getting trapped in caves. You know, like people listen to this and, like, even if they weren't into something, they might be into something else. And, you know, then everybody leaves satisfied.
Shouldn't that soccer coach be getting arrested after this is all said and done? Because why are you taking little kids into a cave during monsoon season?
It was like a fucking little field trip. Drunk? It was a field trip.
During monsoon season? When you know this cave floods?
Well, how would he know that the cave floods? Do they have a sign outside that says the cave's going to flood?
I mean, I feel like if you live in that area, that should just be general knowledge, right?
Do they live in the area? I thought they were like a traveling soccer squad. I don't really know much about this, Drunk. I just can't wait till the movie comes out.
So, better or worse, I guess, than the Chilean miner story?
Well, I mean, it's children, so it's probably much more...
It'll be covered a lot more egregiously than the Chilean miner story was.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
did anybody watch that movie about the Chilean miners? Because that seemed just...
it was good. Travis?
Hey, sure.
Chilean Miner movie? Yeah, it was on HBO. It was good. Travis, you didn't watch the Chilean Miner movie?
No, of course not.
It was good.
I didn't see it either.
And I watched Sully, and I watched the one with Marky Mark saving everybody from the oil rig.
I haven't seen any of those. And I didn't see the Marky Mark one where he saves everybody from the Boston bombers. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Marky Mark ran around everything that happened in that movie. Marky Mark did it.
Yeah, the last one I saw like that, when Nick Cage, he was in, was he in the main building or was he in like the...
Oh, on 9/11?
Five or something.
Yeah, Nick Cage was like in the building, but then he got out of the building, but then like he went back in and saved a bunch of people.
9/11 movie,
and then
whatever.
He got trapped.
Yeah, he's more than 9/11.
There was another Nick Cage.
I saw that Alive. That was pretty good. You seen that one?
Is that where they eat each other?
Yeah, the in the Andes Mountains, the rugby team or whatever.
I liked The Gray.
We just got
the true story of Liam Neeson putting bottles on his hands to beat up those wolves.
Why was he beating up wolves? Were they trying to eat him?
Yeah, they're going to eat him. So he's like, I'll strap some bottles on my hands, you motherfuckers. I'll punch you right in the fucking jaw.
Were the wolves just hungry or were they dickhead wolves?
Well, I think they were around maybe their like den or something. So they're like, hey, shit, you're around our den. We're going to eat you guys up.
Did they eat other people?
Oh, yeah. Everybody but Liam Neeson.
Because he had bottles on his hands.
Well, they were badass.
They were trying to eat him. And he's like, not without a fight, you stupid wolves.
Did he get eaten?
I think it just ended when he was standing in like his Rocky pose. He was about to like take a swing at a wolf, and then it was just like movie's over.
It was like a freeze frame on him uppercutting a wolf. And well, he started playing a Survivor song.
Man. It blacked out on him bobbing and weaving. He was bobbing and weaving. He was ready to take a swing like it was Ivan Drago, and it like faded out.
See, now,
speaking of Rocky, is Creed 2 just going to be as bad as it looks?
Well, I can't say because I couldn't get through the first Creed. I'll try it again, but I fell asleep. I know people really loved it. People were really into that movie, and I was like super excited to see it. And I think I made it about 45 minutes in and fell asleep.
The Creed won some Oscars, didn't it? Didn't Sylvester Stallone win for like best supporting actor or something?
Yeah, I think so. I know. Yeah, it got a bunch of nominations. I don't know how many it won.
Now that you're separated from it, now that you're looking back, was everybody just excited that Sylvester Stallone played Rocky again?
I mean, I guess, but it wasn't that long since Rocky Balboa, was it?
Like if we,
right, only a couple years.
Travis, if we did like the Hall of Fame does, and we waited 5 years to give out the Oscar. With the separation, when you really have a chance to analyze the stuff that came out in a given year, do you think that there would be a lot of people that would change their mind on things? Like the year that black and white silent movie won. What was that movie
Schindler's
called?
Schindler's List?
The Art... Not Schindler. There was sound in Schindler's List.
The Artist?
Yeah, The Artist with that little dog. People loved it.
I never saw The Artist.
No, me neither.
The Artist won Best Picture.
So here, this is what we're setting up then for next week. Our plan for next week is we are going to nominate our Academy Awards for the year 2014. And the following
I was about to
week,
say, so it sounds like you want to do the Oscars 5 years later. Basically.
Yep, we're going to do 2014 Oscar nominations next week. We'll announce our nominations, and the following week we will choose who wins the WFOD Academy Awards for 2014.
I guess it'd be 13, though, right?
We're backing up 4 years, right? It's 2018.
Oh, I thought you said five. That's okay.
Let's go either or. I don't care.
Now, Travis, The Descendants, extremely loud and incredibly close. The Help, what was that? Eat My Shit.
I really like that movie, actually.
Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse.
Oh, no. I'm not interested in the actual Academy nominees. I want to nominate.
Yeah, we come up with our own. Right, yeah, exactly.
Because like the movies that movies, really stood up, stood the test of time.
Yeah. Out of those movies, I think I fell asleep for like through 75% of them.
I mean, like, I'd say Moneyball is the only one I've watched multiple times.
It's the only right, one so I've watched all the way through.
Which Marvel movie came out today?
Like, if Moneyball is on Showtime, I'm going to watch it tonight. Moneyball's a fun movie.
Sure.
I'm looking at other stuff that was nominated for other things. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I didn't care about that either.
Yeah. Maybe this just wasn't a very good year.
No, I was so excited for that movie too, because they made it, they hyped it up to make it look really good, and didn't like Trent Reznor do the soundtrack and shit. And I watch it, and I'm like, who cares?
It's kind of boring.
It's so fucking boring. It was so boring.
Like, there was like a couple of really cool badass scenes with that gal where she was like beating up rapey guys or something.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, let's do more of that. See, like, they could have taken the best 45 minutes of that and intercut it with another movie, and it would have been great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, on its own, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Did you see who the new girl with the dragon tattoo is?
Is that not going to be part of the girl with the dragon tattoo multiverse?
Well, it's...
Are they not connected?
It's a sequel, but I think they skipped one. So it's like the spider, the girl who kicked the spider's web or some shit. I don't know. But it's not the same gal who was in the Daniel Craig one, Rooney Mara, was it? Now it's the queen. It's the gal who plays the queen in Netflix's original series.
Yeah.
Claire Foy.
Right. We're going to have a whole bunch of dragon tattoo ladies.
There's going to be a lot of queen. It's going to be like the passing down the mantle of the Batman. Like, you only get one movie with a girl with the dragon tattoo, and yeah, then they recast.
Every gal at one point gets her 15 minutes with the Mohawk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have 5 years of separation, Travis.
I'm telling you.
We're not going to have an Oscars for 5 years.
Yep.
And we're going to save it up. So
okay, we're keying it up.
So that in 5 years, we can look back at all the movies that came out this year, and we can really look back at them and say, what fucking mattered?
Mike, this is the plan then. Next week, we nominate 2013's Oscar nominees, Academy Award nominees. We put it on Twitter for a poll. We pit them against each other.
Put it on the dock.
Yep, we put it against each other. We let people vote on Twitter, and then we announce the winners.
And we'll do the Grammys, too. We'll do the Grammys the following week.
Yep.
Because that's what you need.
I like it.
You need 5 years.
So we got a whole month's worth of programming out of this.
Way to hammer it out, boys. Way to hammer it out.
Drunk, do you have what you'd say is like a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Drunk?
Yeah, World Cup final is this upcoming Sunday. Go France. Woo.
Go France?
France, yeah. As in the ones that eat the frogs.
France?
France?
France.
You talking about France? France? Travis, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
Travis's pick of the week, by an overwhelming margin, is American Movie, recently streaming on Shudder. If you don't have Shudder, get Shudder, or you can just rent American Movie. But it's a documentary about a fella in Wisconsin trying to make a movie. And there's a wonderful cast of characters. Much of his family and friends take part in this making of a movie. And their central character is just intriguing to watch. It's funny and heartfelt. And in a wonderful flick. It was one of my favorites when I was a late teen and in my early 20s. And it is now streaming on Shudder, American Movie.
You still subscribing to the Shudder?
Oh, I love. Yeah, hell yeah, man. I subscribed for a year. It's great. I love Shudder.
It's like Netflix, but only horror movies.
Yeah, it's like genre. So they've been starting to add a couple of things that are outside of the horror. And American Movie is not a horror movie. It's a straight up documentary about a guy trying to make a movie who ends up trying to make a horror movie. So it's more of a comedy, but it's a doc. So there's plenty of things on Shudder that are not horror flicks, but primarily, yes, it is thrillers and horror and things like that. So subscribe to Shudder. American Movie.
I wonder if I can steal that, if that's something steal.
You'd have to use somebody's password, because it's just like you would have to steal Netflix, you know?
I saw you tweeting about the DC Universe stuff, and some of the stuff on there sounds like stuff that I will look forward to stealing.
Yeah, I'm jacked up. I'm jazzed about the entire Batman the Animated Series being available to stream.
Right. It's all good stuff.
And you, Mike, do you have a pick of the week?
Travis, I do. I've been listening to the audiobook of Stephen King's new novel called The Outsider.
Oh, I'm interested in that.
And the guy narrating it is he's an actor, and I can't think of his name. He was in Armageddon.
Owen Wilson.
Bruce Willis.
No, it was like one of the
Michael Clark Duncan.
No, it wasn't any Billy of those Bob guys. Billy Bob Thornton. Keep naming
Liv
guys
Tyler.
From Armageddon.
I was going to go Liv Tyler.
I forgot Owen Wilson was in Armageddon. I think I need to watch Armageddon again.
The guy from Remember the Titans.
The other guy from Remember the Titans.
WFOD announcer Keith David is in Armageddon.
Keith David, yeah.
Will Patton is who narrates it. You'd recognize his face if you looked him up. Will Patton. He was the coach in Remember the Titans.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
He narrates it. But anyway, the new... I haven't finished it yet. I'm like 8 hours into it. But it's good so far. It's a good good read or listen or whatever it is you do. So,
however you consume novels.
Right. So that's my pick of the week. So, yeah, we did it, Travis.
Sure did. Woo!
Another one in the books. Drunk will be back live next week, we hope, right?
I will. Yep.
Me too.
God willing, in the quick dough round, yes.
Be sure to take a look out for our poll on what should have won the 2013 Oscar. There's probably some good nominees, wouldn't you think, Travis?
Guaranteed. I'm excited.
Gravity came out in 2013. 12 Years
a Slave. That since I saw
12 Years a Slave is what won, but I think we'll probably find something different, right?
Yeah, guaranteed. That's not winning.
You don't think 12 Years a Slave has stood the test of time?
I can't imagine it's aged well.
I never saw it.
Me neither.
I did see that Django.
It might be really good.
I doubt it.
The Wolf of Wall Street came out in 2013.
Ooh, Margot Robbie.
I'll tell you, The Wolf of Wall Street, if that's on cable, I watch it.
Me too. Big fan.
A lot of good movies came out in 2013. Probably better ones than the one that won. This place ain't
doing me good. We'll find out.
Fast and Furious 6 came out in 2013, for the love of Christ. All right, we'll do it again next week.
Guns out, funds out.
Ain't no shortcuts. Gonna dress and drag. Only a fool here would think he's got anything to prove. A lot of water under the bridge. A lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I've been walking 40 miles, a bad road. If the Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some things are too hot to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with the losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care.
say. Just don't show it. You can hurt someone and not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be like an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman that don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in the lake. I'm not that eager to make a mistake. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com, and be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website, found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us, Mike at WFODix.com, Travis at WFODix.com, or Drunk at WFODix.com. You can give us a call every day, all the time, when we're live or when we're not, at 636-487-HAND. That's 636-487-4263. Give us any feedback you may have, comments, questions. It's there for you guys. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls on Ya, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, go to patreon.com/WFODix. We appreciate all of you. We'll see you back here next week.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.